When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If you change your mind,
take a chance.
I'm the first in line.
Take a chance, take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance,
take a chance on me.
It's been such a long year.
Let me know, gonna be around.
Take a chance, here it comes.
Place to go, when you're feeling down. If you're all alone, when they're pretty.
All right. Oh, it's all coming back to me now. 405 McMonagle here with you. All right, a quick little take a chance parlay. This is where I like to give you a parlay. Three underdogs. All have to be, well, you know what? Forget it. Just three underdogs. That's it. We'll work on, as the weeks go on, we'll make it harder that you have to hit a certain mark. We'll just do three underdogs in the take a chance parlay, and we're going to work it into the overall record as well, because it's got to mean something. We got to have a prize at the end of it. Someone's got to hit it.
Prize?
Yeah, prize. Steak dinner, me and you, Marco.
Ooh.
How about that? All right, we'll figure it out. But go ahead, Fliegelman. You start, bud. I know you. I was expecting you to like come back with the steak dinner
line.
Is
that what you wanted?
Yeah. You gave me nothing.
No?
You said, ooh.
Yeah.
It's been a thing for us, the steak dinner. We've had conversations.
You
wanted
to go back to that? We're going to go back to the...
What's the whole conversation? You got to get the wedge.
Ah, the wedge. Yeah, the cell. Yeah.
I thought you'd have something.
Yeah, because iceberg is cold. Yeah, no. Yeah, I remember.
Get Fliegelman.
So at least for this week, the rule of one of these has to be more than a field goal. That's gone?
Yeah, what the hell?
All right, so that actually makes this a little bit easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, I like the Giants. We just went over that. I'm going to go with the Packers tonight. I felt a little bit better about this game before finding out that the Eagles are staying right by the stadium and the Packers are going to have like a 1.5 hour to 2 hour commute to the stadium tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank you, NFL.
This whole situation, yeah, I mean, this is a disaster by the NFL, but where this should be an Eagles home game, you're basically getting these teams on a neutral field. So as much as I think the Eagles are the better team, anything can happen. So I think that's the perfect time to mm-hmm. take a chance on the underdog. So give me the Packers plus the 2.5 there or to win outright. And then the third one, if I'm staying away from the bigger spreads, the Cowboys at the Browns. This is just one of the weirder games on the schedule. All summer I thought I would be hammering the Browns in this spot, but now they have the injuries to the offensive line.
Yep.
The Cowboys, I know, are playing a couple rookies on the line. There's all the drama going on there with Jerry and their weird summer that they've had. But I don't know. The last taste of the Browns defense from last year did not leave a whole lot to be desired. Now, I know that was on the road. This was at home. But I think the Cowboys might have the kind of personnel that, if they approach this correctly with their passing game, can beat the Browns. And Deshaun Watson is still a huge question mark.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm. I'll start there because I have them, and I wanted to do different teams than the underdogs I took as well. So I was going to go with the. I went with the Cowboys as well. I agree with you. I just Watson, the injury. I've heard and read and seen, so like it just doesn't seem to be coming out of his hand good at all. Like he is just. I have no idea what they're going to be offensively. None. And the defense was so good at home last year, like historically good. I just have a hard time believing it's going to be that good again. And I think Dak has a chip on his shoulder. Obviously, that passing game can be dynamic and Lamb. So I would take a chance, too, with the Cowboys getting 2.5 points on the road. I'm going to go back to my Jacksonville as the one team that I'm going to, you know, regurgitate here and give you. I really like Jacksonville at Miami. And then the other team I'm going to give you is the Panthers. I don't like the coach, and I don't like the quarterback of the Saints, plain and simple. And I think the Panthers are going to be a little bit better. You know, they've got the new head coach who was the quarterback coach for Canales was the quarterback coach for Geno Smith when he made his resurgence in Seattle. And he was the quarterback coach last year when Baker Mayfield had his career year with Tampa Bay. I'm hoping he has something to help this young and actually get something out of him. They're a trendy little pick inside that division. Like, I honestly think the Panthers are going to be a lot better than people think. And I can't stand Carr and I can't stand Dennis Allen. Like, I don't think either of them are any good. So give me the Panthers, Jacksonville, Cowboys.
All right, look, I'm not going to go over the Giants. We did that, so I'm going to pick the Giants in this one, too. I'm with Fleegas taking the Packers. I don't like the two-hour ride. Thank you, NFL, again. But I do like the fact of this is kind of like coach. I'm giving the edge to LaFleur over Sirianni with all the issues that Sirianni had with his team. I do like the Packers to have a little bit more focus in a really, really difficult spot playing in Brazil.
Yeah.
But give me the Packers. The other one, I like the fact that we're going head-to-head on some of the picks and going head-to-head on one of the taking the chance.
There you go.
Give me the Broncos. Okay. It's 5.5 because you guys are afraid of the big spreads. So I went after one of the bigger spreads, and I wanted to see if I could find something. I like the idea. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be a great quarterback. I think he's going to be an average one. But I think in week one, Sean Payton's got his guy. I don't think Nix is going to be overwhelmed, if you will, in Seattle, the 12th man and all that nonsense. He's been playing, I don't know, 35, 40 years. It feels like I've been watching Bo Nix. I think Payton's got his guy, and he's going to have enough of the short passing, and it's not Pete Carroll on the other side. As much as Mike McDonald's a defensive coach, and that's his game plan, and that's what this is also his first game as a head coach, and I feel like Sean Payton could take advantage of the rookie head coach with his guy and get that short passing game going, and then the Broncos will inevitably fall apart like the Saints will. But in week one, like I said, it could be a mirage. Yeah. So for the three, take a chance, give me the Packers, give me the Giants, and give me the Broncos.
Yeah, the one thing with the Seattle defense and McDonald is that the thought is it's a very complicated defense that might take more than a few weeks to instill and get, you know, the Seattle team understanding it and playing it at a high level. So I can see that, but I disagree with the 12th man. That's a tough place to go play your first ever start. I know he's 100%. Older. I know he's older, but that's a tough place to go play your first career game. And their defense is atrocious. That's probably the worst defense in the league right now. So I think Seattle. But I hear you. There's a reason why
we're taking a chance, right?
No, of course you're right.
I also wanted to find a spread that was somewhat decent. I mean, again, we're taking games that are 1.5, 2 points. I mean, take a chance on one.
No, I took them all. They're all like three. All my guys are three. Only three of them is. You took the Giants. What are you talking about? 1.5.
Right. That's why I went for a game that was 5.5.
Yeah. See, I like to go with like all of them at least three. You guys are these like tight little games, and then you'll throw the one out there.
Great. Other than using the Cardinals, which I did in my regular picks, the only more than 3 point favorite is and I won't go there yet.
I wanted to.
That my right as a tortured Jets fan, I get to take that game out.
Yeah. Listen, I think they have a really good chance to win. I really do. I think the Jets have a very, very good chance to win. I just want to see them play. I want to see Aaron Rodgers play so badly. But honestly, I think the 49ers, it's a Super Bowl hangover. They got two very key players just getting back into the room. Like, I just think there's a chance this Jet team, who's been waiting for this for 2 years.
Are you trying to throw the chance out there as much as possible just to see if this picks up? No?
Yes. Take a chance, Parlay?
Yeah. Is that why you're going back to it? Yeah, you went back to it quite a bit. That's like the wedge salad.
Went back to what?
You're going back to it. That's the line. That's the word. That's what we're
chance?
Doing.
Chance?
Okay.
The word chance?
Yes.
Have I said it
a lot? That's a buzzword?
It could be.
All right.
Could be the word of the day. Mecha-leka hi, mecha-hi-ni-ho.
He can't defend Cashman and Boone right now, so give him this.
I tried. I can try. No, I can't defend it, but I don't want to talk Yankees. I got criticized on, someone sent me a direct message on Twitter, very unhappy with me talking Yankees, so I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to offend
you. Well, now I want to know about this steak dinner that I'm apparently not going to have at 3 o'clock in the morning.
We're going
to
come up with a prize.
So put that together, figure it out,
come up with a prize for the Take a Chance Parlay.
You know, we don't have to constantly change the rules of these games as the season moves on.
Right.
Like the NFL season snuck up on you. You didn't realize it was coming.
Right.
You got to wait till week 6 to change the rules.
Well, not because here's the thing. With the Take a Chance Parlay, there's no, like, you either hit it or you don't. There's not, like, rankings. It's not like, oh, you've hit 2 out of 3 more than I've. It's like, you got to hit it.
I'm aware.
So, like, what do we do? Like, whoever hits it the most? Like, I got to come up with something.
I understand you got to come up with something, but this is like a birthday. You knew it was coming. The NFL season was here. We got to wait till week 6 to do it.
Well, for the prize,
you can't figure it
segment.
Out until the leaves turn and we got to get to Halloween.
Well, the segment, yeah, because you're not going to hit it first. For the first one.
Marco, you were around. Sal had the same thing. He was making the rules as he went, and then he thought of the parlay idea.
Right.
Yeah. And like week 11.
I had the idea of the parlay already.
Is it the overnight host? Are you guys just vampires, sleep deprived? No, you can't figure nothing out until November, December?
I just don't have the prize. The winner will get something. That's all. It's behind door number 2. I don't know what door number 2 is.
What do you mean, Indiana Jones? We got to figure out some sort of like quest?
Indiana Jones, yeah. I don't know.
We're going on a crusade to figure out the prize? You don't have to get it today. The season's a long way. You got to know what it is today.
No, I don't know. You're doing the Take a Chance Parlay either way, buddy. I just surprised you with a prize. You should be happy you're getting something. Go out there and nail the picks. Don't worry about what you're going to get. What are you? I'm Indiana Jones, and you're my 7-year-old son.
No,
I need to know everything.
I need incentive. Yes,
I just told you there's a prize. That's incentive.
No, it's not enough.
Now, why not?
I'm not looking for a ring pop. I want to see what we're doing.
Well, it's not
gonna
be a ring pop.
Is it wedge salad? Are we talking about like some sort of bracelet? Like, I don't care about that stuff. I need to know.
Well, I said the steak dinner, and it went over like a lead balloon with you. I said steak dinner, and you were like, oh, okay.
I just feel like knowing you, it's going to be a cold steak at 4 o'clock in the morning. Here's your steak.
That's ridiculous. That's it. I don't want to do that. Knowing me, you haven't been on a steak dinner in 35 years, knowing me. You don't even know what an inside of a restaurant looks like.
Go see if there's anything left from when Pat LaFrieda delivered food to the afternoon show yesterday.
I know, I saw that. I missed those days.
The picture. What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
Nobody? Nobody could throw a half a burger on the side?
I missed those
like days. A dog. Like, you can't give me a scrap? No?
No. What would you do with it?
Well, you Marco actually gets here early enough where he could eat it.
No kidding. I'm here at 7:30.
Right. Yeah, but you tell me you got it's either romaine lettuce and chicken or your stomach's a problem.
My stomach's a problem with everything. I can't digest water. Doesn't mean I don't eat it.
Okay. Just saying.
There are certain things that you just have to do.
I said steak dinner and you're like, oh, okay. Is that what you're going to do? Okay.
I was surprised. And I also had an image of you bringing me a cold garbage steak after you went out and ate dinner and then come here on the overnight.
Yeah, that's what
I've been here for 6 or 7 hours.
I'll bring you my doggy bag.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking at.
That's ridiculous.
And you throw me like a ribeye that's been cooked 7 hours ago. That's what I was thinking.
That's ridiculous. And then literally you turn around and we're clamoring for a ribeye cooked 7 hours ago. That's literally what you just did. You wanted Pat LaFrieda's ribeye cooked 7 hours ago.
It's free.
Well, this one's going to be free because you won the contest. And first of all, start thinking about what you're going to do for me when I win the contest.
Right, because when I won it, there was nothing there.
Well, this year we've added the prize to the Take a Chance parlay.
So now I got to win twice. All right. I see the rule.
Oh, look at you.
I'm starting to think Brett on Long Island's phone calls are just Marco disguising his voice when he drives home. You notice they're all after 4:05 when Marco's
that's
already
a good
gone.
Point. That is a good point. I said steak dinner. We could do that. Let's go. Steak dinner. The three of us go out for a steak dinner. The guy who hit the most take a chance parlays doesn't have to pay.
I'm in.
Okay. That's it. We figured it out right now. Free steak dinner for the take a chance parlay winner.
It's a good thing. You only had, what, 5-6 months to figure this out and you did it in five minutes?
Yeah, I figured it out in 5 minutes.
Right. So you spent a lot of time thinking about this. Hmm?
The prize of the take a chance parlay? No, I did not. I did not. Sorry.
You should be.
Why should I be sorry? We had the segment.
Right. It's your segment.
Right.
And I'm helping you
what
with your segment.
What other segment gives away things? What is there a prize for the morning show? Is there a prize for everybody
I don't know what other shows do. We're worried about your show. Right now.
Right.
We're 6 hours from now. Right here, right now.
And I just came up with it right here, right now. What's the matter with
that? And
we
that's the point. You just came up with it at 4:16 in the morning when it should have been something that you had all off season to think about.
There is nothing wrong with figuring stuff out on the air and going through the thought process on air. I like it.
When you're yelling at your kids, going to Disney every year, start thinking about what you want to do for your show.
I just
when
thought
you come
about
back
it.
And get everything ready to go in September.
I just said it. And again, I said steak dinner and you gave me the look like, oh, okay. You know you did. So then I was like, okay, maybe it's not a steak dinner. I'll come up with something. That's literally how this happened. I said, we'll do something for the winner. Maybe a steak dinner. You went, oh, okay. You want to do that? And I said, okay, well, maybe something else. And now I'm getting yelled at. Seems ridiculous. 4:17, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Everyone, all of you, if you do one thing for me, root against Marco's Take a Chance parlay. That's it.
Just one.
Just one. All you need is one. Just root for one to be wrong, preferably the Seattle game, because I'm probably going to bet on it. So that one specifically, because the man doesn't deserve a free dinner yelling at me on my own show. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back with your football phone calls. We'll get into a little bit more of the Giants specifically. I spent a lot of the first hour on the Jets. Let's get into a little bit more of the Giants as we get ready for this Sunday matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. See you, Marco. Bye, buddy. Enjoy. It was perfectly fine to figure that out on the fly.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 424, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And yeah, you know, steak dinner. That's good. I'm glad we came up with it. You got to talk it out. Can't just make up. What if he was against the steak dinner and I'm just forcing steak dinners on him? Got some nerve, that Marco. He's just pissed because he knows he's never going to have a year like last year ever again. And now he's mad I'm giving out steak dinners when last year he dominated. Tough nookies. But we've talked a lot about the Jets. And I opened the show talking about last night because last night opened the NFL season, Football Friday, obviously. And last night's game was both awesome, one that football's back. The game was, I want to say, played well. I mean, there were obviously the illegal procedures at the start of the game and some of the mistakes that were made by the Ravens were just, you know, mind-numbing. And at the end of the game, you know, whether it's the clock management down the stretch, which I thought was atrocious, not just spiking that football, whether it's the hitting Patrick Mahomes late out of bounds when you got away with it about, you know, I don't know, the drive prior, you got away with it. And then you do it again, that cost you an opportunity to end that drive, that final Kansas City drive earlier and give you more time to go and try and tie the game. Or whether it's obviously Lamar Jackson missing a wide open Flowers, like just so many mistakes. And yes, the Kansas City Chiefs got their breaks. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We get it, right? The amount, the Ravens are getting called for all those illegal procedures, and the Chiefs are false, have like three false starts that are missed, or whether, you know, obviously the defensive coordinator allowed to call timeouts when we know only the head coach can call timeouts. A myriad of things. Or Pacheco getting into the end zone after what seemed to me like a clear stop in progress, even moving backwards, and then he's allowed 30 seconds to get pushed into the end zone. So the Chiefs got breaks. No one's saying that. But you don't have to allow Worthy to break the defense and get behind the defense on a blown coverage for a touchdown. Like, they made so many mistakes. And it still came down to a toe. And it's just Lamar Jackson and the way they play and their abandoning of the run game other than Lamar running the football. Like, it just jumped out at me again. Like, who is going to step up? And I know it's week one, but who's going to step up and beat this Chiefs team? Who's going to do it? Who's not going to make the mistake? Last year, they were primed, man. They, for them at least, had a miserable regular season. The offense was nothing like what it was in previous years, at least during the regular season. And the Bills allowed them to come into their building after being the hottest team the second half of the year and winning that division. And having the Chiefs come into their building and Josh Allen couldn't get it done. And Lamar Jackson and winning the MVP, having that great year, having the Chiefs come into their building for the AFC Championship game and unable to get it done. And now yet again, to start this year off, here we are watching the Chiefs beat the other big-time contenders in the AFC. Who's going to do it? It's about time the New York Jets do it. That's what I think. Because I look around, I don't think Lamar Jackson's capable. I don't think Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team, they've had multiple opportunities. They can't get it done. Buffalo can't get it done. We've seen Cincinnati and Burrow do it, but he's hurt all the damn time. And I have to, you know, see that have a full healthy season, and they have their issues, but I expect them to be good. And obviously, can C.J. Stroud do it in this young up-and-coming Texans team? Or can the old vet coming to a new team, loaded, having offensive weapons, defensive, an excellent defensive unit, can they actually be the team in the AFC who can finally get it done against this dynasty that has become the Kansas City Chiefs? And I think there's a good chance Monday will let us know. When we finally see it, when we can see it, smell it, taste it, watch it, against a 49ers team, a defending NFC championship team, if they can play the kind of game they need to beat the 49ers, then maybe, just maybe, they're the group that can find a way to put a hurtin' on this Kansas City Chiefs team that just seems like in every big spot, they'll make the plays and the other team will fold. Seems like that every single year. And then we get to the Giants. And for me, this is an enormous game for this New York Giants team. We saw what week one a couple years ago, everyone wants to harken back to that year 2 years ago when Brian Daboll took over this team and immediately changed who they were, immediately changed the vibes around the team, immediately brought in some competence into the head coaching position. He immediately got in the face of Daniel Jones, and they won a game in Tennessee that nobody expected them to win, and it completely changed their year. and it completely changed who they are. And I think this Minnesota team with this quarterback coming in, their defensive backfield, and this Giant team, who I do think is better than a lot of people will tell you. I don't know how good they are, but I mean, this team last year with Tommy DeVito won 6 games. This team last year had an opportunity to beat Buffalo if a play is made in the end zone. Had an opportunity to beat the Jets if they just don't bungle it up and miss field goals and just crap all over themselves. They had opportunities to win multiple games. They still won 6. They got Daniel Jones healthy. They've got the best wide receiving core he's ever had and a legitimate number one weapon outside. And that's different than Saquon Barkley. I know they're losing Saquon Barkley. And Marco gave you reasons why he could expect the run game to be even better than with Saquon Barkley. I don't know if I believe that necessarily, but I think that's an interesting thought. And I certainly don't think they're doomed, especially if their offensive line is better. I think the run game could be just as good or better, sure. They won't have the dynamic playmaking ability from the running back position necessarily. But I could buy a steady run game, a run game that's just as good. But that doesn't help a quarterback as much. Like, if you want to bring a Christian McCaffrey to an already loaded Niners team, okay, that's a game changer. But Saquon Barkley on a lousy Giants team with a poor offensive line and nobody to throw the ball to is not the help the quarterback needs. As much as it can be at different times, it's just not. A weapon on the outside like Neighbors can be. And for the first time, he has it. And hopefully this offensive line, adding all the interior linemen, Illuminor on the outside as well, but you got Runyon, you got like a revamped offensive line that should be the best it's been under Daniel Jones as well. I mean, he's got his best offensive line, he's got his best weapons. This is the year, and especially with Brian Daboll now calling the plays, I think that's enormous. I think it's such a positive. A lot of turmoil with this team last year, and there always is with losing teams, but the turmoil last year, and it wasn't just fighting with his defensive coordinator, it was his inability to handle failure on the offensive side. And although we all respect Mike Kafka, and I think he's a good offensive coach, and certainly the NFL respects him, he's gotten a bunch of head coaching interviews over the last couple of years. But with Daboll giving him the play calling, taking it away, apparently on the headset, yelling, not really providing answers, just frustration. And when you hear guys like Diggs, who were with him in Buffalo, talk about his ability to call plays, and we see what he did for Josh Allen. Like, there are two ways to handle it as a coach heading into his third season. There's always room for growth, and you can look at it and say, all right, I need to be better. Mike Kafka is going to be the play caller. We trust him, and I need to do a better job of controlling myself and being more of a helper than a screamer, or whatever terms you want to use. Or you could just eliminate the problem. And if Brian Daboll feels like he's coaching for his job, eliminate the problem and go out there and be a play caller. And not focus on the last play, yelling about what failed, but focus on the next play and trying to be productive. And what you've seen from camp is their interest in trying to get the ball down the field, which I think is so imperative for this team, because they're not going to be able to win the way they won 2 years ago. You can't duplicate that season. You can't. Nor should you try. It is very hard to win the way they won that year. You've got to be able to throw the ball down the field. I don't need Daniel Jones to be the best. Like, do I want him turning the ball over like he did in his first couple of seasons and have it be a major problem? No, clearly not. But I don't need him to be immaculate either. I don't need him to never have a turnover. I don't need him to have the least turnovers in the NFL. That'd be great if that's what happens, fine. But I don't need to have it at that level, because the only reason that was the situation 2 years ago is because they never took chances. He never threw the ball down the field. And that was partly because of the roster he had around him and the options to go down the field. And it was partially because they knew they needed to eliminate the mistakes of Daniel Jones. And it might have got him a contract, but it's not going to keep him on this team. And it's not going to make him the franchise quarterback just being careful, looking for your first option, and then tucking it and running. It's not going to do it. And hopefully he's got the offensive line to protect him, and he's got the weapons to go down the field. But there has to be some playmaking down the field. And when I look at this game, I look at a Minnesota team that I think you can attack down the field with the defensive backs. And I look at a Minnesota team that you can get after this quarterback and allow and have him make mistakes. And I do think this Giant team has been preparing for week one. When you take in what week one has meant for this team, I told you about the game in Tennessee 2 years ago. What about last year? Last year, that was the most ill-prepared. Like that harkened back to Joe Judge. That's how bad week one was last year. They were unprepared for the Dallas Cowboys to come into their building. Unprepared. Other than the first, seven plays offensively when they had a drive that led them into field goal range. Other than that brief moment, they were absolutely run over. From that block field goal on, they were run over. And we've seen it in camp, even the way they did the dual practice against the Lions. I believe this coach has pointed to this game. This quarterback has pointed to this game, a quarterback who's talking about playoffs. A quarterback who can't stay healthy. A quarterback who's lost a hell of a lot of games. Is talking playoffs. He's been there once. He's won one playoff game and it was against this team. This is how this season can be won or lost. This can be a jumping point off of a surprisingly good season that does thrust you into playoff contention, or it could be just another miserable start to a year against a team that you were capable of beating, and you were the Giants. And I know that's typically a line reserved for the Jets, but the Giants ain't far off over the last decade. They ain't far off. And I think this is an enormous game from this Giant team. And I'm going to trust them week one, but if we don't see it week one, I don't know if you can expect to see it in week two, in week three, in week four. Like, this is the game the Giants have to win. And this is an enormous game for the coach. And we could talk about whether or not his job, or he's on the hot seat, or he's this, or he's that. I think he feels like he is. And honestly, at some point, I know they played for him down the stretch. And I just told you they won some games with bad quarterbacks. And you look at his numbers against the spread, he's like at 66% against the spread. He's been pretty good against the spread here. He's kept teams in the game with multiple quarterbacks, with Davis Webb and Tommy DeVito and Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. With a lousy offensive line and with a lousy, arguably the worst wide receiving core in the league, he managed to do that. And so it seems like, you know, it should be easy. It's not. And he's got to show again that this team can have a season and that he can get the most out of Daniel Jones. And there's a lot of pressure on him because of the play calling, because he decided to take that on. And I think he knows that he is on some level, and I don't know if it's just straight up coaching for his job or not, but the one thing I'll say when people ask, you know, people say, oh, you know, I know Connor Hughes is reporting that he is and he thinks he is, and a lot of people don't buy it. The owner wants continuity, and he's tired of hiring and firing coaches, and Brian Dable's shown you to be a good coach, and I believe all that. And I think things being equal, yeah, I'm sure the Giants don't want to make a change, but here's the thing. This offense has to show something, because everyone, we could all talk about how the offensive line's vastly improved and it's the best it's been. And we could talk about what Neighbors brings and this, you know, Wandell Robinson and Hyatt, what this offense, you know, the leading receiver over the last handful of years, and Slayton is their fourth best wide receiver on this team. So, like, we could talk about that, and we could talk about the offensive line, and we could talk about his play calling, and we could talk about all these things and why the offense has to perform. It's not even for me a win total. This offense has to be an NFL offense. They have to be able to get the ball down the field. They have to be able to make plays in the passing game. They have to score points. If the defensive backfield costs them an opportunity to be a winning team and they win 5-6 games, but the offense showed major signs of improvement, then I don't know if Dable is on the hot seat. But if this offensive coach who was brought here to do this, who took over the play calling, who was part of the group that got Daniel Jones a $40 million contract, if they're going to do all that, and still have a miserable offense with their best offensive line, with these weapons, if this offense still stinks and can't put up points, if Daniel Jones still isn't throwing touchdown passes to wide receivers, if it still looks like what it's looked like, how could you tell me the coach is safe? How can you tell me this offensive coach is safe if they don't vastly improve their offense? And I think it's got to start right away, because we've talked about Daniel Jones and his contract and the guaranteed money and his injury issues and what happens if he gets injured. It'll come a point real quick where it no longer makes sense to play Daniel Jones. It's got to start now. This is an enormous week one for the New York Giants. And for the Jets, I think it's one of those games where a win is a much bigger positive than a loss is a negative. You never want to lose, and there'll be talk, of course. Aaron Rodgers, I just heard him, he just played it in the update, the cut, where he says, you know, if we win, we'll be on our way to the Super Bowl. If we lose, same old Jets. And some level, he's right. But I do think the loss, unless it's ugly, but if they have a hard-fought game and, you know, lose by a field goal to the 49ers, although it's a loss, the rest of the schedule is favorable. They played relatively well. Aaron Rodgers made it through the game healthy. I don't think it's a major, major hindrance into them still having a positive season. But what a win could do to go on the road Monday night as a 4.5-point underdog to take on the defending NFC champs, if you go in and win that game, now I think the excitement that has been, you know, maybe a little bit more under the radar than it was last year, immediately comes to the forefront. And immediately you're talking about what I've been talking about all morning. It ain't the Ravens. It ain't Buffalo. Could it be the Jets? Can the Jets be that second team in this AFC who could challenge the Kansas City Chiefs? The Cans of City. Let's take a quick call before we head to break. Bernadette in Oceanside. Hey, Bernadette, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, how was your vacation?
It was wonderful, glorious, and over, unfortunately. But we're right back in the swing of things with the football season. But it was great. When, you know, we my wife's a Disney woman. I'm just gonna have to live with that, and I have to accept it. We go every year, and it's well, I can't guarantee that, but we've gone every year, and it's always a good time.
Very nice. All I hear in my head is that you are like waiting for Brett to call you and start screaming about Daniel Jones.
Yeah. It seems like I can't.
I can't wait.
Well, listen, I know it's that's funny you say that. Here's the thing for me, and maybe it's a failing of mine when I talk Giants. I'm open to that idea. I have a very difficult time talking about the Giants without focusing on the quarterback and the offense. I do. Because I just think, although it might not be the reason they lose the game, and I certainly don't think he's a bum. I want to make it clear. I don't think Daniel Jones is the future, but I also don't think he's a bum. I think he can be a starting quarterback in this league, and some of the nonsense about him being, you know, worse, poor, less ranked than guys who've never thrown a pass in the NFL is absurd to me. But I am concerned about him. He's constantly injured, and I don't think he throws touchdown passes enough, and I just don't think he moves the needle enough for me to pay him $40 million and consider him the franchise leader. And I'm tired of every year being a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones. This is like going on year four of this is the year for Daniel Jones. But I still think he can be serviceable. And I still think if they lose, it's probably the defense. But I have a hard time having a conversation about a football team when the quarterback position is so in flux. And we're talking about an all-or-nothing year on Daniel Jones. If that's the case, then that's the only conversation that I can have with, you know, without getting back to it. We can talk about the defense. We can talk about Thibodeau and Burns, hopefully getting some pressure on the quarterback and the defensive backfield and the issue that might be and all the other ancillary stuff, the run game now without Saquon Barkley and the offensive line. It's all, you know, a part of the puzzle that will tell us what this Giant team will be. But it's difficult for me to get through a real conversation about the New York Giants without having one about the quarterback. And I know that sparks the phone calls from a certain someone. So you might be right. Maybe somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind, I'm looking for a fight with Brent in Long Island. It's possible.
My issue too is with Saquon gone.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be like another Daniel Murphy for the Giants, that he is going to come back and whip our butts, even though they whip our butts every year.
Oh, Bernadette, bingo, Bernadette, bingo.
Yeah.
Like,
He's going to love it.
Oh, he's going to love it. I don't doubt that. And you're 100% right. Thank you for the call. But I'm sorry. I have a rough time caring about that. I have a real rough time worrying about Saquon. Like, you just said it. I mean, I can give you a list of running backs and players who otherwise have never been heard of. Boston Scott does hardly anything against anybody else. He scores touchdowns every single time he plays the Giants. Like, the Eagles, honestly, and I say it a lot, but it's true. The last time the Giants won a meaningful game against the Philadelphia Eagles, Ron Dixon ran back the opening kickoff. Like, that's the last time I honestly remember a real meaningful game where the Giants got the better of it. I mean, we're going back 20-plus years. So the idea that Saquon Barkley coming in an Eagles uniform, yeah, I'm at this point, it's Pavlov's dog. The Eagles come in, I expect to get my ass kicked. Like, that's it. The Eagles come in, I'm looking for the rolled-up newspaper. That's it. So do I care if it's Saquon Barkley doing it to me? I do not. I don't. And I expect them to be good this year. And I expect them to be better than the Giants. And maybe the Giants can, you know, figure out a way to beat them. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying if Saquon Barkley scores three touchdowns, and the Giants lose, you know, 35-10, am I really going to be going, oh, man. Ugh. And it was Barkley. E2 Barkley. Like, no. That won't be me. Because I think the Giants did the right thing. I think the Giants handled it exactly correct. And I think Joe Shane, despite what some might tell you, I think Joe Shane has come out looking great. I know, you know, this little faux pas he had on the Chicago Bears Hard Knocks, which I think is ridiculous. He made a slight comment that you have to, you know, read between the lines. And I'm not saying it's not there between the lines. It sure is. It sure is there between the lines. But a comment made to another GM where you have to read between the lines to take it as a knock on Daniel Jones, like, he said it must be nice not to have to worry about your quarterback position. Like, we all know they're worried about it. Daniel Jones is well aware. Daniel Jones is growing a beard just to talk about something else. I think we're all aware. But I think they handled the Saquon Barkley situation exactly right. They don't have a roster good enough to warrant paying a running back that kind of money, let alone a sixth or seventh year running back who has already had a devastating knee injury and is good for a high ankle sprain twice a year. Like, I mean, I just don't see it. As much as I love him, as much as I respect his talent, as much as he's a game-breaking player, and yeah, sure, as much as I think he's going to have a phenomenal year with the Eagles, it doesn't mean that was best for the New York Giants. And no matter who was running the ball, whether it be Swift, whether it be Boston Scott, whoever it is, they were going to come in and beat the Giants. So I have a hard time caring who's in the uniform. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. Oh, here's our guy now. I was going to go to break, but I have to go to break. Okay, well, everyone wait. Here's the tease. Brett in Long Island is going to yell at me about Daniel Jones coming up in just a few minutes.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Wind it down on this first football Friday of the year. We had Kansas City taking care of Baltimore last night in a very entertaining first game of the year. Hopefully that is portent of things to come in this season. We got both teams ready to go week one, Giants against Minnesota on Sunday, and of course Monday night, the Jets against the San Francisco 49ers. Let's get back to the calls. Let's hear what Brett in Long Island has to say today. What's up, Brett?
First of all, Marco, man, get a life, man. It sounds like he needs a raise in his paycheck trying to hit you guys up for steak dinners and prizes, man.
He's not trying to hit us up for steak
dinners. Go back to your updates, man,
Marco.
Hey, listen.
Hey,
no. Petty, Marco.
Stop. We're not disrespecting the guys here. Come on. Let's go.
Disrespecting you. And Bernadette.
He is not.
You know what? Go back to knitting or crocheting. You know nothing about sports. And
I was happy to have the conversation with you, man. I was happy to have the conversation with you. Come at me. That's it. Marco's not here to defend himself with you. Neither is Bernadette. Just come. And then you wonder why the people in your group chat aren't friends with you. This is the problem. Then you wonder when you join your 11th social media giants, chat forum.
Online group,
as you put it. Your 11th giant online group, and you expect them all to be friends with you. Because immediately you come out with insults. And she didn't say anything wrong. First of all, Bernadette said nothing wrong about you. All she said was, it sounds like I'm trying to get you to call. That's all she said. She didn't insult you in any way, shape, or form. She didn't say a single cross word. All she said was, when you talk about Daniel Jones, it makes me think you want Brett to call in. That's all she said. You are the most sensitive guy. Like, my goodness, just call up and argue with me. I'm happy to do it with you. Most people ask me why I still take your phone call. But I do. Stop insulting people. Just call me up and yell at me about my stupid takes on Daniel Jones and the Giants. That's it. Now you don't have your say. Now no one's going to know what Brett in Long Island had to say. And we're all the better for it. 888-808-1019. What a dope sometimes. Yeah, you know what? I want to mention I want to mention the John Sterling thing, because obviously that's a huge thing. And as a Yankee fan, I got to tell you, I am super excited to hear, and this is coming from someone who blames himself. I blame myself for 2004 with the Yankees and the Red Sox. Because I was watching the game on TV, and I went and I got my boombox, for lack of a better term, to go plug it in and put on John Sterling's call of the final game, game four against the Red Sox, as the Yankees were about to sweep him, as Mariano was coming in to pitch the bottom of the ninth. I went out and got my radio because I wanted to hear John Sterling say, game over, American League Championship Series over, Yankees win. So I'm happy he's coming back. I understand the negative side to it, or people's opinion of it. But here's what I think, that this was kind of always like open to it. It was always kind of like, yes, a retirement. He definitely talked about not wanting to do games this year, but it was always a possibility. And it's not like they hired his replacement. Now, I think Ricky and Justin Shackle and my man Emmanuel do a terrific job. I really do. To get thrusted into it and have to rotate this and the way, the Fan Odyssey and everybody has, manipulated the schedule and having everybody do games. I think they've done a great job. And maybe I'd feel differently about it if they named a clear successor, but it's kind of been the rotation. And to have John Sterling come back and do this year's playoffs, as a Yankee fan, I just, as much as I appreciate the job they all did, and I think they've done a wonderful job, to actually have a good... And the other thing was, it wasn't a goodbye, and I know you don't always get a goodbye. I know that doesn't have to be a, this will be my last season and we all have to, say goodbye to John for an entire 162, or even just, but he started the year and it just felt unfinished. So I'm looking forward to hearing John come back, do the games on the radio. I think it's going to be great. Him and Susan doing playoff games, and there will be playoff games. We'll see whether or not it's in wild card form or moving right on to the ALDS, that we don't know, and that we have to figure out. But as a Yankee fan, as the Yankee shill who hosts Yankee Hot Stove from 4 to 5, I felt like I needed to comment on it, even on a football Friday. Everybody enjoy the first football Sunday of the year. Let's go, Giants. We'll have more time, obviously, to talk about the Jets come Monday morning. We will do that. Yankees play an enormous game later today around 2:20. The Mets will take on the Cincinnati Reds, who just had their way with the Houston Astros, so it might not be as easy as we all think. But, hey, who could stop the Mets right now? So we still have pennant baseball. We have college football on Saturday. We got the NFL on Sunday. What a great weekend. Go enjoy it. I'll catch you Monday. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.